Hello, everybody, and welcome to episode 103 of UFO Encounters Worldwide. This is your host, Jesse Peek, MUFON field investigator in the state of Pennsylvania, city of Philadelphia. And for today's episode, we're going to go down the path of the experiencer phenomenon with special guest Kathleen Hager. I've spoken with Kathleen about her experiences, and they are very interesting and eye-opening. Some of them have actually been written in the books of the author and researcher Linda Zimmerman, who has written books on the Hudson Valley, which is where Kathleen is from and has had her experiences. So this will be a very interesting episode today because Kathleen is sharing this for the first time on a podcast and radio show. So this should be very interesting, and I'm sure some people will be able to relate with similarities in their own experiences. But we're going to go down the road of this phenomenon today, so strap on them seatbelts. We're going for a ride. Hello, everybody, and welcome to episode 103 of UFO Encounters Worldwide. This is your host, Jesse Peek, MUFON field investigator in the state of Pennsylvania, city of Philadelphia. And today's episode is sponsored by the new book by Kevin J. Briggs, Spiritual Consciousness, A Personal Journey. You can get that over our website at ufoencountersworldwide.wordpress.com or at kevinjbriggs.com. Today, we're going to take a ride down the experiencer phenomenon with our special guest, Kathleen Hager. Kathleen, welcome to the show.
Thank you so much, Jesse. How are you today?
I'm doing good. Looking forward to hearing about your phenomena, your experiences. I know we talked about them before, but now we actually get the chance to sit down and kind of go through the details a little more. So I thank you for coming on today and sharing your story with us.
I appreciate it. Thank you, Jesse. This is going to be about the first time I've ever told the story of what happened to me when I was 6 years old.
Yeah, I know. I know you had some of your stuff in the books of Linda Zimmerman, who does a lot of work in the Hudson Valley, and that's where you're from. But
yes,
yeah, this is your first time doing a radio show and podcast, correct?
Correct.
Okay.
And it's a little scary. It's a little emotional because I've never really got into the conversation of what happened to me. So it does affect me quite a bit.
I completely understand. I'm an experiencer too, so I was at that point, and I completely get it can be a little scary and kind of intimidating at first.
Yes. Yes.
But we try to make this as safe place as possible, so you can come on and feel comfortable about this. And like I said, we do appreciate it.
But thank you.
So before you had any experiences, you being in the Hudson Valley, I know it's a really big UFO kind of area. Did you know about UFOs prior to your experience?
Well, being 6 years old, no, I didn't. I mean, I was told. See, I used to live in Congress, New York, when I was about three. And I was practically about born and raised there. I was born in Nyack Hospital. And at the age of three, I lived in Congress. And then we moved from Congress to Spark Hill Road in Tappan, New York. And I used to look at the bridge through the bedroom window. But I was practically born and raised on the Hudson River.
Okay. And I know there's a lot of activity off the Hudson River. I've heard Linda in her books a couple of times having sightings while they're fishing or out in the woods hiking. So this all started when you were 6 years old. And can you kind of walk us through that a little bit?
Okay. It was in October. My father had just came home from work, and at that time, it was called the Rockland Gas Company before they switched into Orange and Rockland. And he came home from work. My Uncle Joe lived with us, and so did my grandmother. We had a beautiful blue high ranch house, and it was just being done, being built. My father bought it off the owner. He wasn't satisfied with it. So it was a cold October night back in 1966. My parents told us, me and my brother, to go ahead to bed. And at that time, my brother was 3 years old. So we went on to bed. And I always had a habit of climbing up on top of the top bunk and watching the bridge all night long, watching all the lights on the bridge and the fire trucks and police cars down on the road. And well, this one night, it was a Friday night, my father and my uncle were working on projectors because my uncle worked in the movie theater in Niagara. And they had some problems with the machines, so he brought them home, so they were working on them. And my mother and grandmother were in the living room watching TV, having coffee. So, like I said, I was up on the top bunk watching the bridge. All of a sudden, there was strange lights going on in the sky over the bridge. Then I was watching all the fire trucks and the police cars where lights were flashing all over the place. They had a spotlight up on the bridge. I was watching the spotlight bouncing around. I don't know what it was following, but it was watching something. Then all of a sudden, everything completely went dark. And yet I looked in the hallway and we still had lights. I couldn't figure out why that half the bridge looked like it was out. There was no fire truck lights. There was no police car lights, no street lights, no car lights. And I'm like, what is going on? And then all of a sudden they started blinking and then they came back on again. And I said, well, that's strange. So in the meantime, I got up out of the bunk bed and I came out and opened the door, came down the hallway. And I told my mother I had to go to the bathroom. And she goes, well, hurry up, be quiet, and don't wake your brother up. And don't lock the doors. And I said, okay. So I went into the bathroom, I closed both doors. And I'm sitting there and I had pajamas on, you know, top and bottom. And I'm sitting on the toilet and I'm singing little songs and my mother's telling me to be quiet. So I'm sitting there humming to myself. And all of a sudden I start hearing a tap, tap, tap on the window. And I thought, well, you know, maybe it's a bird or an owl or a bat or something. So I didn't pay much attention to it. And then I heard the tapping again. Then I heard, I mean, not with my ears, with my mind, something telling me, look up here. Look over here. I won't hurt you. Just look over here. So I didn't want to. I really fought it. I didn't want to look. I was trying to hum again. And it just, all of a sudden, my head started turning. And I just started looking up at the window. And this face was looking at me, and it scared the living hell out of me. I couldn't open my mouth to scream. I couldn't move. It was like I was paralyzed on the toilet. So I watched this thing come through the wall, over. It was just like walking right, like there was no more bathtub there. It was just an open area. And I seen it come through and came right face to face with me. And I couldn't move. I was paralyzed there. I couldn't talk. But he was telling me that, don't worry, I'm not going to hurt you. I just wanted to see you. And I got to show you something. I said, I don't want to go. I don't want, I'm screaming in my mind. I know I hear I can hear myself screaming. But he says, you got it. He says, calm down. I'm not going to hurt you. And then after that, I started coming up off the toilet. And it had me in the air. And it didn't actually touch me. It just, all of a sudden, my pajama pants came up. And then I was following him out through the wall. And I started kind of dozing out and in, like passing out and in. And I kind of glanced over. I saw a wall that was moving. It was like blackish color, like water waves, like you would see in a lava lamp. And I was coming down the hall with him, and I looked over towards my left side. And I'm screaming in my mind. And I see this room. I see heads, bald heads, all lined up like they were in a classroom. And I'm screaming. I'm like, why can't they hear me? Why can't they see me? Why aren't they looking at me? And they were all just looked straight ahead. I went past that room and I kind of passed out. And then I was coming, they had me into another room. And they had me on this thing. I guess it was a table or a chair or something. And I could open my eyes and kind of glanced over and saw a table sitting there with fancy colored glowing buttons or something on there. And then I looked up and I seen him looking over top of me. And I passed back out again. Then the next minute I know I'm back in the bathroom. I'm sitting between both bathroom doors. I couldn't move. My legs were sitting like kind of alongside me. And I'm looking up, watching him. And he says, we'll always be around. We'll always be watching. But you're okay. We didn't hurt you. And my parents are banging at the door. The doors are locked. And I didn't lock them. And they're yelling, open the door, unlock these doors, let us in. They thought I fell asleep on the toilet. No, I didn't. So, so I watched him go out through the wall. And as he disappeared out and everything went back to normal, the doors unlocked. My parents came flying into the bathroom. My father grabbed me. He goes, why did you lock the doors? Why did you lock the doors? And I looked at him. I said, help. Help me. Help me. Face the window. Help me. And he picked me up, took me out to the living room, sat me down by my grandmother. And my lips were so dry, my throat was so dry. I could just move my mouth because it was so dried out. So they brought some water into me. I think I must have went through about 4 or 5 glasses of water. And then they said, what happened? What is going on? Why'd you lock the doors? I said, I didn't lock the doors. I said, I'm facing the window. My father goes, Cap, the back of the house stands 2.5 stories high. There's no way anybody can get a ladder or even reach that bathroom window. And I kept convincing him that it was a face in that window. It came through the wall. It was there. And so my uncle and him decided to go outside, check around for a ladder, see if they could find footprints. There was nothing there, absolutely nothing there. So from then on, when I go into any bathrooms, I have to close that bathroom window up. I have to close the window. If there's blinds, I have to close the blinds. I have to close the curtains. I have to cover that window. During the daytime, I'm fine. Nighttime, I don't like bathroom windows. Right. And to this day, I have to do the same thing.
Do you know how long it was from the time that you went into the bathroom and were taken until you got back? Do you know about how long it was?
It felt like, because I know I went to bed about 9:30 and I didn't fall asleep till almost 10:30, 11 o'clock sometimes, because I used to like to stay up and watch the bridge.
Right.
But it felt like I was gone for hours. And being 6 years old, you know, it feels like you were gone for a long time.
Absolutely.
But I don't know how long my parents were, and my grandparent or my grandmother or my uncle was banging on those doors. I have no idea. I couldn't hear them. All I could hear was him. And later on, I drew the picture of him. I think I might have showed you the picture in my shirt. But when I looked him up later in years online, now that most of all this UFO stuff is coming out, and the pictures that people are putting up, I went through all the pictures to see if I could find this face. And to my surprise, when I found it, it was a reptilian. And it still gives me shivers. I got chills.
Did he look like a lizard reptilian? Could you kind of describe him a little bit?
He was kind of dark. It was kind of dark in the back of the house. And when he started coming through, it was like a darkish green with like grayish pieces, like in the way his face, the face was wedged in. He had beady eyes. And it had like a straight lines in the, and you know how you have the cuticles in your eyes are instead of round, they're straight line. Like a lizard eyes.
Right.
And when he looked at me, he was looking right, like he was looking right through me. And I couldn't move. He had me completely under his control.
Was he wearing any clothing or any kind of suits or insignias or anything that you might be able to figure out where he's from or anything like that?
All he had me do was look right at his face the whole time. And I saw his hands, his when he had it up on the window, they were thin fingers, like sunken skin with bone. And he just had long, like long fingernails when he was tapping on the window.
Right.
And he had, I mean, his arms looked strong, but thin. Not real thin, but it was strong, husky. But he never put any that I know of, because I blacked out so much, and I don't know how long I was gone or what they did. It's like I only have bits and pieces of memory.
So now, when you went onto the ship, you said you had seen the bald heads.
Yes.
Were they?
They look like children. They look like children in a classroom. I couldn't see their face. They were all staring straight ahead. And I'm thinking to myself, why aren't these kids looking at me? Why can't they see me? Why can't they hear me?
But they were they were different from the reptilian, though.
Yeah. They look. They have stringy hair, blondish stringy hair on them. Not a whole lot of hair, just stringy, like in parts of their, but their heads were so big.
Wow. Do you remember seeing anything else when you were walking on the ship? Do you remember seeing any doors or any other rooms or any other beings walking around?
If there was any other ones, they were behind me. And it was not like I was allowed to look behind me. I was just looking straight ahead. Like I was, like he picked me up as a statue and just carried me down. But right. I was floating. He didn't have his arms on me or his hands or anything. And I remember turning to a doorway that was already open. And I kept blacking out. And then when I saw this shelf, like a table or a stand or something, I couldn't make out really what it was, but it was a flat piece and these had these glowing buttons on top. They were blinking, like fading in and out of colors. One was orange and one was green. And there was a yellowish color, one way over on the side. And they would just, he had his hand just The other person, I can't make him out. He would take his hand and go over these flashing lights. And then I looked up at this one. And he looked a little different from the reptilian, but I can't make out the face features. So I was like, boring.
Right.
And then he put his hand on my forehead, looking at my eyes, and then I went right back out again.
Now that it's been some time from your experience from 6 years old, right. And during the encounter, he said that, you know, he wasn't there to hurt you. Do you kind of look at it as maybe more a positive experience now than you did before? Or how do you feel about the whole situation in general now?
It still gets to me. It still scares me. And there's times that his face will come strong to me and then kind of fade away. And then there's times that I'll say, well, you know, maybe he's not around. I'm not seeing his face anymore.
Right.
You know, and then all of a sudden it'll come back strong, like he's looking right straight at me. And it just comes and goes, And I'm like, why can't you just leave me alone now?
Right. You're kind of like reliving it over again.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah. And it took me a long time to even. I mean, I started sitting down and started writing this information down. And it's just, it's coming to me a little bit at a time.
Right.
But to this day, I can't stand bathroom windows. So I have to close them. So I have to cover them.
That makes complete sense because with my experience, I've had things come to me in my room in the middle of the night. And now I sleep with a nightlight. You know, so I completely understand where you're coming from with that. You know, I'm scared to sleep in complete darkness. So it's the fear of this whole phenomenon.
Yeah.
But let's go ahead and take our break real quick. When we come back, we can get a little deeper and kind of talk about it more. So we're going to go ahead and take our real quick messages and we'll be right back after the break. UFO Encounters Worldwide would like to announce our brand new home at the UNX Network. Listen to us every Saturday at 8 p.m. Eastern Standard Time to hear UFO Encounters Worldwide podcast. That's on the UNX Network. Introducing the new and sought-after book, Spiritual Consciousness, A Personal Journey, by author and experiencer Kevin J. Briggs. See the photos of what Kevin witnessed and links for the book at ufoencountersworldwide.wordpress.com or in the description of the episode below. Again, that's Spiritual Consciousness, A Personal Journey by Kevin J. Briggs.
UFO Encounters Worldwide wants to hear from you. Have an experience or a sighting you want to share? Contact your host, Jesse Peek, at ufoencountersworldwide@gmail.com today.
Looking to get some UFO merchandise? We'll get some UFO Encounters Worldwide official stickers, and we also have pins. Check out our selection, DM us or email us if you're interested for inquiry, and we'll show you our selection. All pins and stickers are $3 each and $1 shipping, or you can mix and match any five for $10 and free shipping. DM us or send us an email if you're interested. This is your host, Jesse Peek. Check out our official website at ufoencountersworldwide.wordpress.com. Read up on UFO articles, including abductions, close encounters, sighting cases, megalithic structures, and more. Also, check out our new Facebook group. You'll get updates on guests every week, new events coming up, and our schedule of who we're going to have on in the future. Again, that's UFO Encounters Worldwide Facebook group and our website at ufoencountersworldwide.wordpress.com. Hello, everybody. Welcome back to the second half of episode 103. We're sitting down with our special guest, Kathleen Hager, talking about the experiencer phenomenon and some of Kathleen's shocking experiences that she's dealt with from the age of 6 years old in the first half. Now, we've also talked about another encounter that you had actually on the Hudson River, which is where a lot of contact experiences have happened in the Hudson Valley in New York. Do you kind of want to tell us a little bit about that one and what happened?
Okay, I can do that. Well, it was 1971, and it was in the month of August. My father and my mother decided to take a two-week vacation on the boat. So we packed everything up, went up onto the boat. It was about August 1st. My father took a two-week vacation from his job, and on August 12th was my mother and father's anniversary. So we spent the 2 weeks on the boat. We were over in Croton Beach. It's over where Croton Park is, which has a history of spirits and ghosts and strange happenings. And the beach itself also has spiritual things that happen. I've seen a lot there over the years. Well, on August 11th, that night, I couldn't go to sleep. I was inside the cabin, and we had these little portholes that you can look out to the side, and I could look at the beach and everything. And there was, the water was very unusually still, very quiet, and usually you can hear all the crickets and birds and stuff around the beach, and you can hear fish jumping out of the water and stuff. It was really quiet. So I went to sleep. The following morning, my father was up early, and I woke up, and he goes, "Well, if you want to come out and sit in the back, come on out and sit in the back of the boat. And just speak real quiet so we don't wake your mother and your brothers up." Now, at that time, I had my newborn brother there. He was about a year old. And my other brother was there. So they were sleeping. And I went out with the bag with my father. I said, "I'm going to jump in the water." He goes, "Well, don't dive in." He says, "Just get down the ladder and go in." So I did. So I'm swimming around, and everybody, there was two other boats there that were way down towards the other end of the beach. So my father goes, "Well, just swim around, don't make a lot of noise." He says, "And pretty soon I'll go in and get some coffee." And I said, "Okay." So I told my father, I said, "Look, I said, I want to practice to see how long I can stay underwater." And he goes, "Why don't you just wear that damn scuba tank?" I said, "I don't like the scuba tank." He goes, "Why?" I said, "It's got a funny taste in the mouth. I don't like it." So he laughed at me. He says, "All right, go ahead." So he would test me how long I could stay under the water, which I did pretty good. I don't remember how long I was staying under. So he decides to get up and go into the cabin to get his coffee and do what he had to do. Well, something got into my mind to go up towards the bow of the boat, hold on to the bow, and just go under and come back up. And I'm like, "No, I don't really want to do that." "Oh, come on, you can do that." And I'm thinking to myself, "Who's telling me this? And I don't want to go under the boat." "No, go ahead, go under the boat." Well, I argue with myself with it. Finally, I did it. I went up to the bow of the boat. Now, the water was just as calm as glass. There was no movement, no boats around. It was about 6:30, quarter to 7. and I went under. As soon as I went under, something big hit me, pushed me out under the middle of the boat. I don't know what it was that hit me. I went to come up. I came up full force and hit my head up underneath the boat. And I just completely went out. Next minute I know I'm way down where the other two boats are, between two outboard motors next to my head. I'm raised up out of the water with these arms around me, shaking me to wake up, telling me to wake up. The second time they told me to wake up, I had start opening my eyes and I caught something going down into the water, letting go of me and just going back into the water. I'm looking around like, how did I get over here? And I'm looking at these two outboard motors. I'm like, this is not good. If the water was rough, those motors with those blades, propellers, would have cut my head. And I'm gradually getting away from that. In the meantime, I hear my father yelling like anything, looking for me. He's in the water looking all over me, feeling all around the ground, all underneath the water. He's going under and around looking, and seeing him, I just couldn't speak at that time. And then finally he caught an eye on me and he says, "What the heck are you doing all the way over there? Get over here." Now the tide was out and starting to come in. And I'm just bouncing on the bottom of the river, bouncing myself over and over and then swimming towards him a little bit. So I get to the boat and he pulls me up onto the swim platform and up into the boat. He goes, "Where in the heck have you been?" He says, "I'm looking all over you." He says, "I'm ready to call the Coast Guard to look for your body." He says, "Where have you been?" He says, "Your mother's upset. The boys are crying. We couldn't find you. Where were you?" He says, "Why were you under the boat?" He says, "I heard you hit your head underneath that boat." And I looked at him like I had no idea what he was talking about. And my mouth was so dry. He gave me some coffee to drink. And he goes, "Well, what happened?" I said, "I don't know. Something hit me. Something big pushed me up under the boat." He goes, "Well, you haven't been there." I said, "I know." He goes, "What made you go under the boat?" I said, "I have no idea. I had no recollection why I was under that boat. I don't remember why, what hit me." So he's taking out his medical stuff and he's checking me over. He goes, "I don't hear any water in your lungs." He says, "Anybody that's been that under the water that long should have water in their lungs." I was completely flushed. My lips were blue. And to this day, I have no idea of what happened. My father looked at me. He goes, "Okay, that's it. You're done swimming here for today. We're going over to the cove." I said, "Okay." So we lift anchor, go over to the cove. We throw the anchors in. I'm sitting up at the bow of the boat. He comes home. He says, "Well, here's your pole." He says, "You got to get some fish for the crab traps." So I throw the line in. And I'm sitting there. And I'm trying to think of what happened to me. What's going on with me? I just don't understand what's going on. And I'm looking down at the water. And all of a sudden, I hear this voice say, "This is your second home. Always remember, this is your second home." And I look and go, "What? What do you mean this is my second home? Who are you?" And never heard the voice after that again. So, it's just something that happened, and I don't know how long I was gone for. I know my mother was a nervous wreck, and I felt bad because she's a diabetic. And she had heart problems and stuff. My father was a nervous wreck.
That's a very scary experience to have happen to you, especially when you really don't know what happened.
I have no recollection of anything that took place or what happened. All I know is I felt the arms and a hand on me, pulling me up out of the water and waking, and in my mind, waking me up, telling me to wake up.
Now, what stuck out to me, Kathleen, in both of your experiences, after you had your experience, you were really thirsty both times. Did you realize that?
Yes. I was so thirsty. It felt like I was completely dried out.
And that's exactly what happened after your first experience, too.
Yes.
And that's usually a sign that you've been abducted or you've been taken. Many experiencers come away after the fact being very, very thirsty, feeling dehydrated. And that's a big point that sticks out in your story.
Wow. Yeah, I didn't realize that until after years gone by and I start looking into this. You know, I've been trying to check out everything online. And over the years, you know, you couldn't really find anything because nobody really wanted to talk about it.
Right.
And all this experience that's been going on with me, these dreams, I dreamt that I was being taken on a small craft. With then I actually seen these grays. There were five of them. And they were trying to get me up this ramp. And I started arguing with them. And I think I argued with them so much that they lost control of me and I fell on the platform.
Was this after the Hudson River incident?
No, this was later on in years.
So after the river happened?
Yeah, this is a few years back now from up here where I live now. It's just like they don't leave me alone. They give me dreams. They feel like they're attacking me sometimes. I mean, I've had nights where I felt like I was being tossed around like a sack of potatoes, throwing me all over the place. There's other nights that I'd be dreaming, I'd be fighting them, and I'm actually seeing that I'm fighting with them, and then I'm still in bed, and I'm hitting the daylights out of my husband for some reason. He woke me out of it. He goes, "What is wrong with you?" And I said, "I don't know." And I stayed up the rest of the night because I was afraid to go back to sleep.
Now, when we talked about your experiences off the air, you mention something about your family members having experiences that you were aware of?
My father would never talk about anything. Now, my father went, you know, he worked late hours sometimes. And when Rockland finally went into Orange Electric, and they came into Orange and Rockland, he switched over to working in the power stations, and he would rebuild the transformers on the poles. And he would stay out on standby all night long, and he would never talk about what he saw at night. He would maybe talk to my mother quietly about it, where I wouldn't hear him. My mother, she would have strange dreams sometimes, but she wouldn't tell me her dreams all the time. Only until the time that when she was ready, a week before she died, she told me about these buildings that she saw that were on fire and there was something hitting these buildings. She didn't know when it was going to happen, but she saw the whole thing take place. And the only thing she was worried about was she couldn't find my brother. Well, after she died in 86, 2001, the planes hit the towers in New York City. And when that happened, my mother's dream came back to me of what she saw. She saw people jumping out windows, flying through the air to their deaths, fires going up the side of the buildings, things hitting the buildings. Well, that day that it happened, my brother was supposed to be in New York City in those towers. He was supposed to be delivering office furniture to the third floor in the second tower. That morning, someone called his office where he worked and told them to cancel that order. Do not come near the city. Stay away from it. We cancel the orders. Well, my brother got mad because that was extra money for him. He couldn't understand why he couldn't go. So later on that morning is when we found out what happened with the towers. So my mother saw this way back in 86, a week before she died. So she saw what was going to happen.
That's incredible.
Yeah. But I've had experiences. I've heard my aunt, my two aunts, and my grandmother talking, and they were all three of them were dead. And I would go into my mother's bathroom and sit there and have a whole conversation with them. Nobody else could hear them but me.
So this sounds to me like extrasensory perception or ESP. It's kind of like having an extra sixth sense.
Yeah, it comes and goes.
Right. And it sounds like this is something that has possibly been in your family for a long time, and it's kind of continuing on to you, or it did, you know what I mean?
Yeah. And I try to like shut it away because I really don't want to see things that are going to be bad to happen. But I get these feelings. They're so strong. I know something's going to happen. I don't know where it's going to happen at or what it's going to be that's going to happen. And I've talked to my sister-in-law, and she reads tarot cards and stuff. And I told her, I said, Dee, I don't understand what's going on with me. She goes, what's the matter? I said, I know something bad is going to happen. I can feel it. I can feel people hurting. I can sense all this, but I don't know what it is. I don't know where it's going to be, but I know it's going to happen soon. And 2 days after I told her that, Orange County had that storm and it got flooded. And one person did die.
Yeah, this is exactly what I'm saying, ESP. You have these extra senses that normal people don't have. So you're able to sense danger. You're able to see things in the future. You're able to have these dreams. Some people say it's a gift, and some people say it's kind of, you know, the opposite. Because really, you don't want to, like you said, you don't want to see these things happen.
Right.
It's really hard to deal with, and I understand why you're have trouble with it.
Yeah, it's like mixing with all these emotions.
And then you got to live your life with this, with your family that you have, your family, you know?
Yeah.
How has it affected your family? Has it affected your family in any different ways throughout the years?
Well, they noticed that, well, especially my grandchildren, I got 8 of them up here. They all noticed something different with grandma. And my daughter, she's got a sense of reading things or knowing things are going to happen before it happens. So I know she's got a touch of this. And then with all the sightings that we got going on, I mean, I've seen tic-tacs in the skies up here now. We've had a flashing of a green light. My son saw. My son is Wiccan.
Okay. My mom is.
Yeah, I've studied some Wiccan with him. I mean, I read the course on what's his name, Raymond Buckland.
Okay.
And I went through that with him. My son went through that. You know, we went through the course on that. And he's been Wiccan for a long time. And I've learned different religions along the way to try to answer questions that I have. And it's hard to find answers. You know, over the years, it's really hard to find the answers. And then when Eric, I can't remember his last name, he works with Giorgio and all that.
Okay.
He had that book of Enoch. I think I'm saying it right. I'm sorry, it's another image of the Bible. And I corresponded that. I read the whole book. went back to the Bible and seeing where it fits in with the Bible itself.
Yeah, Eric Von Daniken, right?
Yeah.
Yes. Right. Chariots of the Gods.
Yes. Yes.
That's the book that got me going in this field, actually, years ago.
I've been picking up a little bit here and there. But you know what the strangest thing was? That when I was in junior high, I worked in a library. This is back in Suffern, New York. And one day I was working in the library, and we used to have guest speakers who used to come to certain classrooms, science and stuff like that. And I'm sitting in the library by myself. I'm taking care of the books and stuff, putting the cards back in the books. And this gentleman came in. Never seen him before. He came in and he's looking down. He goes, "Oh, hi." He says, "How you doing?" I said, "Pretty good." He says, "You don't mind if I just sit in here, take a break?" He says, "I'm waiting for the next class to talk to." I said, "No, I don't mind." So I get up and I'm putting all the books away and I'm watching him. He's looking through his papers and he goes, "I bet you're wondering what I'm looking at." And I said, "Well, it kind of caught my interest." And he goes, "Well, come here, I'll show you." And he was talking about flying saucers. And I'm like, "Really?" He says, "Oh, yeah, I guess you're interested in that kind of stuff, huh?" I said, "You have no idea how much I'm interested in that." He goes, "Well, I'll tell you what. You give me your name and address, and I'll send you some information." I said, "Really?" He goes, "Yeah." He says, "But you got to kind of put the paperwork away. Don't let anybody see it." I said, "All right. You know, I'm kind of wondering, you know, why wouldn't I let anybody see it?" So he goes, "Well, this is from a project." I said, "Okay." I never got the man's name. He took my information. 3 weeks later, I get this big package in the mail. My mother goes, "Who do you know down in," I forget where the address was now. And I said, I don't know. Maybe somebody that decided to send me something. I don't know. I opened it up and it said Project Blue Book on the top of the page.
Really?
And I'm like, "Oh my God." I mean, I've been reading, you know, I've been hearing things about this project thing. And it was pictures and stuff and information inside this. I wish to God I still had it now. Oh. I really do. I wish to God I still had it now.
What happened to it? I got to ask.
Oh, my brother, my younger brother, was trying to follow in my footsteps.
Okay. Okay.
And he got interested. He wanted to see it. Now, meanwhile, he's married. He's married to this woman that was a real doozy. And when she saw my paperwork there that my brother was looking over, she decided to take it and throw it in a garbage bag.
Oh, man. That's a shame.
And she shoved it underneath the trailer. Wow. Well, I didn't know about it till years later. They moved out of it. They moved down into Rockland County. We moved into Orange County, into the trailer that they had. Well, we didn't realize how bad the wiring was underneath the trailer. It caught on fire. So we were pulling everything out from underneath the trailer. My father was there and everything, helping us pull the stuff out. And I grabbed all these bags out. He goes, "Well, we know where she was putting all this garbage." And when I opened the bag, opened up all the paperwork, I mean, parts of it was gone. It was burnt. And I'm like, "Oh my God, I was so sick when I saw that."
I bet you were.
And I'm like, "Well, there goes all that information, proof that I had it."
Well, Kathleen, we're actually at the end of the show. I really want to thank you for coming on today and sharing all this information with us. I know it could be hard to talk about it. I could hear you reliving it when you were saying it. But, you know, you doing this today and sharing your story is going to help somebody that listens to this show. And I know that's going to happen. So
I hope so. I really hope it helps them. And maybe they've had some experience like I have. Maybe they might even seen me someplace that I can't remember.
Yeah, it's possible. And just to know that they've experienced the same things you have lets them know they're not alone. So just know that you're helping other people by coming forward and doing this. And I appreciate you coming on the show and doing this, because I know you're a longtime listener too. So having that courage to do this is, I commend you for it. And I really appreciate you coming on today and sharing that information with us.
Thank you for having me.
Absolutely. It was a pleasure and it was an honor to have you on today. And we'll be in touch. I know you're very active in the community and when we talk every so often. So
that was one of the main reasons why I joined MUFON as a member, so I could try to get information, so I could try to get answers.
Right.
Absolutely. And I still haven't found them yet.
I hear you. Me too. I'm still looking as well.
But I just want to let everybody know, when you see lights in that Hudson River, don't look back and say it's jellyfish, because it's not.
I hear you.
It really isn't.
I hear you. Well, I want to thank you for coming on, and I want to thank all the listeners today for tuning into this episode. I hope you guys could relate. I hope somebody was able to understand that they're not alone when it comes to the experiencer phenomenon, and I want to thank everybody for tuning in. Please go check out our sponsor, Kevin Briggs' new book, Spiritual Consciousness, A Personal Journey. It is more of a positive outlook at the experiencer phenomenon. So it's always good to look at both sides. So you can check that out over at our website at ufoencountersworldwide.wordpress.com. And also check out all the UFO articles over there and the events section we have now. So I want to thank everybody for tuning in to episode 103 of UFO Encounters Worldwide. But until next time, remember to keep your eyes in the sky. Well, I hope everybody enjoyed today's episode going down the road of the experiencer phenomenon with our special guest, Kathleen Hager. I really appreciate her coming on and sharing her stories publicly like this on a show for the first time. I know it takes a lot of courage to do that, so thank you, Kathleen, as I know you're a longtime listener, and we appreciate that as well. Next week, we're going to have special guests. We're going to have Michael Cameron. He actually just released a brand new book for the first time through Flying Disc Press with Philip Mantle, the same publisher I have as well. So we'll be having him on, talking about his experiences and what you can expect in his brand new book. Also, be sure to go and check out our official sponsor of the show, which is Kevin Briggs' new book, Spiritual Consciousness, A Personal Journey. You can get that over at our website at ufoencountersworldwide.wordpress.com, or you can go to kevinjbriggs.com. The reviews about the book are absolutely amazing, and I can tell you firsthand from reading the book myself, it's a great experience and a well-written book. So be sure to check that out, and we'll see you guys back here next week. And until next time, remember to keep your eyes in the sky. Thank you.